Thank you, Brother Barron. Good evening, everybody. I certainly give my amen to the music. It was really tremendous and so relaxing, too. And the messages in the songs are just tremendous tonight. I'd like to make just a special drive. During the East Street Crusade, we had the privilege of seeing some ladies saved in that area. Some of them were very poor. Sister Dawson is teaching them. And the Lord burdened our hearts of some used clothing, good clothing, no underwear. Ladies, young people, children. I've gotten rid of quite a bit in my house, and believe me, I looked in the closet the other day and I felt so ashamed. I'm going to do some more stripping. And I know that you've been wanting to get rid of them, didn't know how. Here's an opportunity. We want to have a truckload at least to go south of Lutheran and a lot of poor folk down there, believe it or not, and also send some off to Sister Dawson at East Street Gospel Chapel so she can distribute there in that area. Now you could leave them at Brother Roddy's, Brother Jeremy Albury, central part of the island. If I'm not home, just leave them in the carport, and what we'll do is get together and we'll pack them neatly in boxes and try to deliver them. Appreciate that if you advise us in that area. I've just come from a very poor, you're either poor or rich down in Argentina. And I said to my brother, I said, Fernando, look at the garbage. Smaller than a basketball, these little bags you get from the grocery shop, tied neatly, some of them about this size. We have 3 pickups a week here in Spanish Wells, and where the garbage comes from, I'm by myself, and mine is full almost. 3 times a week. I said, Fernandes, there's a real picture there of poverty. And they never waste anything. They gather all the cans for recycling and sell them. And they also have their foil, if they get any. They wash that off neatly and fold it. They don't throw anything away. 50% of the population is below poverty level. Not poor, but below poverty level. You're either rich or you're poor in that country. Pray for the work down here. Tremendous work. The assemblies, 28 assemblies in Buenos Aires. I had the privilege of preaching at least 5 of them, as well as other churches and Word of Life in particular. Great work going on there. John chapter 1, if you will, please. John chapter 1. And we'd like to read verse 41 of John chapter 1. And I'll refer to a couple other verses for our message tonight. This, of course, is Andrew, verse 40. We ought to read verse 40 for the connection. John chapter 1, the gospel that is, verse 40 and verse 41. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah. Which is being interpreted the Christ. We have found the Messiah. Thank God for that wonderful truth. And he was willing to share that, of course, with Peter, his brother. There are other things in the Word of God that were found. This is really striking to me when you read 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8. You don't have to turn to it. And Hilkiah, they were cleaning out the temple of the Lord, and it says, Hilkiah the high priest said, I have found the book in the house of the Lord. Now, here is a beautiful thing that was lost, sad to say, lost in the house of God, but found the written word of God. I was taken back in reading some memoirs of Sir Winston Churchill, and some of the atheists that he actually rebuked because of the scorn on the Word of God. Sir Winston said, God help our nation if we do not believe in the Holy Writ and Holy Scriptures. And, of course, he had a lot to say, which I wish I had before me to share with you. But I was glad to know that Sir Winston believed in the inspiration of the Word of God. What he said, what leader or guide would any nation have without it? Think of the contribution to the world and those who have accepted the Word of God. And, of course, he went on and he highly praised the Word of God. And I think of an African tribesman quite some years ago, met a missionary, and he said, "Are you the one that has brought the book to our country?" She says, "What book are you talking about?" "The book of God, the book of God." She says, "Yes, I have the book of God." Says that my son brought me a few pages of the book of God. And it tells that God loves me. I'd like to learn more about this book of God. Do you have it? I brought a goat. It says, "I walked 5 days in search." They tell me that you're the person that has the book of God. And you know, she says, "I'll be glad to let you have the book of God." And then she explained the way of salvation to that dear man. Ah, my friend, listen, the book of God. He knew it worked wonders. I was reading about Jack Wertzen, who's the founder of Word of Life. I read it years ago, and I started to read it again today. And Jack is a dear friend of mine. He's with the Lord now, but he's responsible for starting many youth camps around the world. Not only Argentina, but Brazil, Bolivia. And the saints know Brother Haggerty quite well, by the way. And he's been down in that area preaching in Argentina. And in Romania and Mexico, Shroon Lake, New York, which some of you dear ones have been to many years ago when we took two groups up there to Word of Life. When Jack first heard the gospel of Christ, he laughed at it. It was one of his friends, Jack Schilling, in the local guard. He wasn't in the army, but in home guard, I guess they call it. And he started to read the Bible. And Jack said, that doesn't make sense to see you reading the Word of God. Because a couple of nights before that, he was up on a flagpole drunk, and they tried to get him down. But he had been converted. He didn't say anything, but he just kept reading his Bible. Somebody gave him a Gospel of John. Said, "Read this, Jack. It'll help you." And when he got waiting for his bus, it said on it, "Saint John." The very word "saint" turned him off. And he tore the Gospel of John to shreds and threw it in the gutter. But later on, it's just marvelous how that same word gripped his heart. His friend wouldn't let up on him. And he kept telling him about Christ dying on the cross. And the Word of God, the Word of God. And so Jack became so convicted. He said, "I got to read this." And he read it. And he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. And there's so much about that man's life where the Word of God was his source of guidance and the power in his life. The Word of the Lord. The written Word. I have found the book. My friend, it would be pointless for us to tell you tonight that without the Word of God, that we just wouldn't know anything about his salvation. If we tried to show you some other way, it isn't in philosophy. They tried to teach that in the Colossian church, and Paul had to rebuke it. It's not philosophy. People are coming up with a new age movement, new ideas, and you hardly hear the blood of Jesus Christ preach and the cross of Christ preach. You hardly hear about judgment and hell anymore in many church circles. We have a lot of good philosophical sayings, a lot of good things. And they're, I suppose, in their own rank, they're probably fairly good. But, oh, my ears strain sometimes, even to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. I heard a message today, and I said, "When is that man going to quote a scripture verse?" And I didn't hear him quoting any scripture verse. And he's well-liked. And I'm not a person to dislike anybody, but when they never read the scripture and they never hear the Word of God, it sort of turns me off. It's a word. How shall they hear unless the preacher be sent? How shall they understand and be convicted unless they hear the Word of God? By faith, or faith cometh by what? By hearing, and that by the Word of God. That's why I hope we always will have the reputation in this church to always be a preacher or preachers of the Word of God. When we lose that and turn to philosophy, we've lost it. You may become popular, but you will not have the power of God ringing in the hearts of men. That's what leads to conversion. The Word with the Spirit of God, of course. And then we have, of course, this wonderful record. Hilkiah, he couldn't keep it to himself. We have found the book. They blew the dust off of it. I hope we're not like that lady that said to her daughter when the preacher came to visit her, she said, honey, go get the book that mommy loves. She brought her the J.C. Penney catalog. That's the book mommy loved. I suppose a lot of ladies love like that book. But she really got fooled in that one. I believe she meant the Word of God. The book is it's so precious. A man, young man was carrying the Word of God. And a wise old preacher said, son, I like to see you carrying the Word of God. He says, oh, I said, I never part with it. And the old preacher said, but you know something better? He said, what's better than that? Let the Word of God carry you. And that makes sense, doesn't it? When the Word carries us. Don't you feel empty sometimes if you go a day without reading the Word of God? Like something's missing? Like you've lost your left arm or your right arm? But just something isn't there. And I'll tell you one thing. You'll have more distractions in life to try to keep you from this book. If you want to be consistent and have a regular time of reading the Word of God, it's very, very difficult. The devil will bring all kinds of legitimate things in your way and try to keep you from this book. My friend, it's the Word. We don't apologize for taking a couple of minutes. The Word of God. It's this powerful Word that gets into the recesses of the heart, into the mind, to the soul, to the very bone, the structure of the human being. A Word that's absolutely no substitute for it. None whatsoever. Oh, may we always be guided by it. A young boy was told by an infidel, say, son, I think you should stop reading that book called the Bible. I'm going to send you a book. And you know, I like what he said. He said, if you have anything better than the Sermon on the Mount, or more beautiful story than the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, if you have a higher code of morals than what Jesus gave, and that of the Ten Commandments, or more consoling than the 23rd Psalm, anything will reveal to me a more loving and merciful God, and also sheds light on the future and tells me about a heaven and peace and security. He said, then you can send it along. The atheist, by the way, never sent him the book. Because there's nothing comparable to the Word of God. Nothing that is to match it. And so Hilkiah, it was a treasure. We have found the Word of God. And great things happen as a result of it. Now in Job 33 and verse 23 and 24, it says, if there be a messenger to show unto man his uprightness, verse 24 says, then he is gracious, that he is gracious, and deliver him from going down to the pit. And then the writer says, I have a ransom. I have a ransom. I have found a ransom. That's the actual words, really. I have found a ransom. I like that. I found the Word of God. By finding the Word of God, you can also find a ransom. The ransom, the redeeming Word. That Word that transforms, that Word that really helps us through life. And this redeeming Word is where Christ died in your place and in my place. And he gave his life for us. And he delivered us from the slave market of sin. And if you're here tonight and you're still groping about in the dark, and you're grappling with issues in your life, and you find that you're not making it. In fact, you might be entertaining thoughts of doubt and insecurity. You may be here tonight and you've made professions and you don't even know if you're going to heaven. Listen, the redeeming Word of God will give you that assurance. And just look into the book. Because if you have Christ, you do have that security. You do have His salvation. And you'll be able to say, I have found the Redeemer. And He's the one that will ransom you and deliver you out of the slave market of sin. And you need not let the devil beat you or browbeat you or torment you and fill you with all kinds of insecurity and doubt. Know of a certainty based on the Word of God. John said, these things write I unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Not hope so, think so. You can go to bed tonight with absolute certainty. But Mr. Perry, you don't know. I sinned yesterday. You did? Well, join the club. I say that respectfully, by the way. Not that we rejoice in sin, We're not happy when we sin, but all of us know what it is to sin. We don't want to, we don't mean to, but we do have the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. For if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that word, don't you? All unrighteousness. He puts it behind its back, out of sight, like I said in the last gospel address I gave here. Redeeming word. Ah, thank God for the ransom, for Jesus who paid it all. All to Him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washes it white as snow. Praise be to God for that wonderful, wonderful truth. Oh, my friend, listen. We can know of assurance tonight and of surety that Christ is yours. And you could really testify for Him. Nothing gives you more joy than when you let others know that Christ is yours. Don't keep it to yourself. This is good news. You can't afford to keep it to yourself. And I made a note here of a couple of things that the word lives, the redeeming word lives. Nations rise and they fall, yet it lives. Dictators, kings, presidents, they come and go, but the word of God lives. The redeeming grace of God is revealed in that wonderful book. It's doubted, it's criticized, it's condemned, it's scoffed at, its inspiration is denied, but thank God it lives. It's a living word, it's a redeeming word, and you can know the joy of that tonight by just trusting it and trusting what God says, and you'll never be disappointed. I trust you will. But I like the last, which I read at the first, when Andrew said to Simon, "We have found the Messiah." And here's, of course, is the living word that we've been talking about. Thank God for the written word that Hilkiah found in the temple and the book that we have before us. Thank God for the ransom that they found, the redeeming word. But this living word is the answer. Thank God for His coming. He's revealed the Father. The Word teaches us that. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We wouldn't know the mind of God, the thoughts of God. Neither would we know the plan of salvation had it not been for His coming. He was destined to go to the cross. And that was the plan of God. It was sad moment in the history of mankind. The way they treated Him, the way they acted toward Him, they rejected Him. They said, "Away with this man. We do not want this man to rule over us." And it seems to be the cry of many today. You mentioned the name of Jesus. It's almost like a curse word, a plague with many, many people. They don't want to hear of Him or about Him. And yet His very character, it was flawless, splendor, the splendor of His character. The origin of the dear Son of God, well, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was always, always existent. He existed in eternity past. He came and dwelt among us in the miracle of incarnation. And thank God, He grew up in favor with man and with God. And then, as I said, His destiny was Calvary, the cross. That's what it was all about. And it's a very dark spot, but it's a bright spot. We wouldn't have any opportunity. We wouldn't know God's way of salvation had it not been for Calvary. We owe so much to the cross of Jesus. His character, no one could find any fault in Him. In Him is no sin. His conduct was the same, of course. And He said, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" What an opportunity if somebody had anything to say about Him or any flaw that he could find in his character and his life. What an opportunity it was for them to come out with it then and say, what about this? But no one could confront Him and convince Him of any sin that he'd ever committed. Jesus never had to say, "Oh, I'm sorry," as if He had made a mistake. Never. He didn't have to apologize to anybody. Being God, but He was perfect. And it would have to be that way. The Lamb without blemish is going to die on the cross. It would be accepted by God. It would be approved by God. nothing else really would help or would matter. Oh, thank God. Thank God for the word or for the Messiah that was found. We have found the Messiah. Wouldn't it be nice tonight if you're here and you're not a Christian, before you leave, you could say, thank God, I have found Christ as my Savior, my Redeemer and Lord. I thank God for the so many people, 300 in one community down there in Argentina, one area, just knocking on doors where they came to the Lord. And I didn't even get the chance to preach the gospel. I wanted to. Oh, no, Mr. Frank, you give teaching. These people are young converts. They need teaching. I said, all right, is that what you want? But to see how soft they were, and their hearts were pliable. They never heard in the church, organized church all their life, and never heard that Jesus died for them. Can you imagine that? Steeped in darkness and in their religion, and they never have known about Christ. So, see, it's not ritualism, which brings nothing but blindness, darkness, and death, but it's through the cross of Jesus Christ. And these people have found, many of them found the Lord, and they are rejoicing in Him tonight. What the hand is to the violin, and the breath is to the flute, what the fragrance is to the flower, what the spring is to the well, and what the flower is to the bee, that and more Jesus Christ is to us tonight who know Him as Savior and Lord. Christ is a Shiloh in Genesis. I was going through the Bible trying to pick out a theme over Christ is, and I just want to briefly share this with you. He's the I Am of Exodus. He's a star and scepter in Numbers. He's a rock in Deuteronomy. He's a captain of the Lord's host in Joshua. And He's also the Redeemer in Job. He's a shepherd in the Psalms. He's a song in the Song of Songs. He's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, King, Savior, stone. He's a shadow in a weary land, the stem of Jesse's rod. He's a suffering one in the book of Isaiah. And Daniel, thank God, he's a stone cut out of the mountain and crushes the toes of the beast, or at least the statue that we saw there erected by Nebuchadnezzar. Interesting, really, piece of prophecy there. And the stone is going to fall. That stone is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And those 10 toes, iron mingled with clay. As you know, Rome was never defeated by any army. Never. But it did deteriorate from within. The clay and the iron toe, or the iron legs, rather, was a type or prediction that Rome would weaken. And she died from within. Not totally. She deteriorated, probably is a better word. But she's strengthened now. The European common market, the nations that we have in Europe today, that's another subject, of course. But listen, the stone cut out of the mountain is none other than Christ. And the day is coming, and He's going to stand upon the Mount of Olives. And with His blazing eyes and the sharp sword that will proceed out of His mouth, the mountain will sever. And the tsunami, I believe, will take place as the Mediterranean waters rush down into the valleys. Listen, my friend, that is going to happen. And that's why I always appreciate the passage in Revelation 19 as well as Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They won't bow now, but the day is coming that men will bow. They will be forced to bow. Oh, what a pity. What a pity. Because they'll be lost forever and ever, shut out from the kingdom of God, and never will know the light of His glorious gospel, and they'll never be saved, and they'll be subjected and put into the pit of flame and Gehenna, hell with all of its fury. And they will be lost forever and forever and forever. Am I speaking to anybody here tonight? You've never found a Savior. You've heard the gospel preached again and again. Tell me, are you going to let this night pass by? Are you going to have the courage to go home and pillow your head, not knowing whether you're saved or not? And maybe down in your heart you're saying, no, Mr. Frank, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. God help you. I wouldn't pillow my head tonight unless I got right with the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him as my Savior and as my Lord. Oh, the good news would be tonight if we could hear someone say, I found the Lord as my Savior. Wouldn't it be grand? I found the Messiah. I found the Christ, the redeeming Christ, and He saved me. Thank you, Daniel. Zechariah says He's the branch. Haggai is a desirable nation. Matthew is a king. Mark the servant. John the Son of God. Luke the Son of Man. In the Revelation, He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Tell me, what is He to you tonight? Is He the rose of Sharon? Is He the bright and morning star? Is He the lily of the valley? Is He the spring in your heart? Is He the salvation and the song of your soul? What is Christ to you tonight? I pray, God, that you will bow the knee to Him and let Him in. Let Him be your Savior tonight. Will you do that? I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me, please. I always feel at the end of a meeting is very, very important. We like to always give an invitation. We don't want anybody not to have an opportunity. I know you can trust Him when you go home. I did. I got at my bedside and gave my heart to the Lord. But I wonder tonight, just before we sing a couple of verses of a hymn, and we're going to close in a word of prayer. But heads are bowed, and am I speaking to somebody here tonight? You're saying, Frank, I want to find the Messiah. I want Christ to be my Savior and Lord. Would you indicate that to us? No one looking around. Christians, pray that some poor, weary heart may be longing to know the Savior. And I know putting your hand up won't save you, but it'll indicate there'll be a step. Just one step. Now, it may take a little courage, but to me it takes a lot of courage to go out of this door and not to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes far more courage to do that. Just slip your hand up. Indicate to us, I want Christ to be my Savior. Pray for me. Is there someone? Just quietly slip your hand up. I want to know for sure that Christ is mine. No one is going to criticize you. They're going to be much in prayer for you. And we want to give you that opportunity tonight. The Spirit of God is moving in your heart. Will you trust Him right now, or at least indicate that you want to go on for the Lord? Just quietly slip your hand up and take it down. All right, shall we turn to 240, just a couple of verses of 240. Out of Christ without a Savior. Oh, can it be? Can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? Oh, to be without a Savior with no hope nor refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Savior, one without Thee dares to die? Can it be? And then the last verse, out of Christ without a Savior, give to Him now your heart, ere the door of mercy closes, and you hear His word, depart. We're just going to sing first verse 1 and the last verse. I'm going to ask you to stand, please, while we sing this beautiful hymn. It's a hymn of a real challenge. And look, you may be like some that we've seen. You want to come forth to openly declare that you're interested in the Lord. We'd be glad to help you, take you to the office. And we won't let this night go by, but we'll give you special attention. And the Spirit of God is moving in your heart. You want to settle it tonight. Publicly declare your stand for Christ. Meet us to the front where we can have a word of prayer with you and share with you the gospel of Christ. Will you do that? Let's stand and sing two verses only, 240. Singing. You want to make your way to the office? Please feel free to do so. Someone will be there waiting for you. I pray that you'll do it tonight. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the privilege of just being here tonight. We realize we live in a nation, as we've already said, of freedom. But, oh God, this freedom will be in vain to a lot of people unless they respond to the gospel clarion. God be pleased, and, oh Lord, it pains us to think that there'll be some from this very island that'll be lost forever. Maybe in this meeting tonight, maybe they'll be lost simply because they rejected Christ. Oh, God, in your mercy, save them is our prayer for Jesus' sake.